What has their well-being at heart? What are we trying to say here in this, what, 1, 2, 3 portions of Scripture? What is the letter R that we look at in this few days, the Lord's willing? What makes us powerless? The R in powerless. Well, maybe you have already the word resistance to change. Rebellious to change. You got it. It's just a few different words. Rebellion, resistance, refusal. I refuse God. I refuse change. I don't want to change. I don't want change in my life. I will be rebellious against change. And God wants us to change, and he has our good at heart, and he says, I want you to change. I want you to live. I don't want you to die. What are we doing? The same as Israel. I don't want the promised land. No, I love to be a slave of sin. I love to be a slave of Pharaoh. Man alive, we eat at least well, man. We look so good because we eat so good in Egypt. But they don't care about, you know, whose people are they? Not Pharaoh's. They were God's people. His very own. And God has a covenant with them through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He can't just leave them there. He can't. Moses at one stage, when Israel keep on murmuring and then there's no water and we eat bread for past how many years? We are tired of bread. It's just dal and rice. We don't want dal anymore and we don't want rice. We want some chicken. And what did God do? He gave them chicken. Why? He has their good at heart. But they are rebellious. As long as it go well with them, hey, I'm a happy man. Just leave me. But when it go a little bit tough, oh, this God, and then lash out against Moses and Aaron, but they do it actually, God. And then one stage, God said to Moses, just step aside. And I will start all over with you. I'm going to wipe them out. Just step one side. What did Moses do? Something that Christ has done. He intercede for the whole of the nation. And he remind God of three things. Why, Lord? Number one, what was your purpose when you bring Israel out of Egypt? Remember your purpose. Why did you bring them out? That's number one. You have a purpose. The second thing, you have a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If you kill them, the purpose and your covenant is been cancelled. The third thing, Lord, you have a name that is so far in front of you that all the heathen nations fear that name. You have a reputation, O God. They fear the God of Israel. Can you remember Rahab when the spies come to her? Did she tell them, you know, we are so afraid of your God? Because that name is proceeding so far. When we hear the name of your God, we shudder. We crumble. He remind God of those things. And what did God do? The Bible say he relent that he wants to kill them. Look at God's heart. He want the best for his people. They don't want it. Jesus said, I come to give you life, John 10 verse 10. He said, the thief come to steal and to destroy and to kill. But I come to give you life and that life abundantly. But we don't want that life. We like the life that the thief comes and give us. Because he takes life. He don't give it. No. I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 13. I want you to see, even in Jesus' time and even in Paul's time, Acts chapter 13, as from verse 44 in Acts chapter 13. It say, let's read from verse 42. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devoted converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and argued them to continue in the grace of God. These men has come to Christ. On the next Sabbath, verse 44, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. And when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. They began to contradict what Paul was saying and heaped abuse on him. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you first. Why? Because God has your good too at heart. He wants you to know the truth. Because why did you call this gathering together? Now you didn't expect it will be so many of them. Because God has their good too." Now they starting to have an uproar here. And then he come and say here, "We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you," that's that letter R again, "reject, refuse, resist, rebellion. Since you reject it and do not consider yourself worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord. And all who were appointed to eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region, but the Jewish leaders incited the God-fearing women and high standing on the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust off their feet as a warning to them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. There God left them. He had his well-being at heart. And what did they do? The Jews reject him. That R that makes us so powerless. We reject the truth and we reject the change that God wants to bring. Let's go to Acts chapter 17 from verse 5. Again, verse 5. "But other Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other believers before the city officials, shouting, 'These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here, and Jason has welcomed them in his house. And they are all defying Caesar's decree, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus.' When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Then they made Jason and the others post bond and let them go." They flocked them. Again, they don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear that there's change for them. It's a better life that Christ has come to give. They rejected, they resisted. Chapter 18 from verse 5 and verse 6. "When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, 'Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent of it. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles.'" Again, rejected him. Not him, the message that he carried about Jesus the Messiah, the one that can change your life for the good. Not for the bad, but for the good. And I think many, many, many of us struggle with change. Am I right? Many change, struggle with that. We are so prune and we are so used to our foreign life and the way we live that we actually love it. I don't have to be accountable. I don't have to be responsible. I don't have to give account to no one, man. No one. I can live the way I like. You can't tell me what you do or what do you do or how to do it. No. I will not let me tell by you how I must live, because I like my life. It's my life. Go, live your own. If you have a problem, it's not me who's got a problem, it's you. Go and work on your problem. But little did I realize that God has actually my good at heart. That's why he sent you. That's why maybe I hear over the radio or I hear someone say that Jesus saves and Jesus changes, and the life that you live now, if you stay in this life, you're going to die without God, without Christ, without hope. But what do? We struggle with that. We struggle. Our lives are so used to. Jonah, if you can, let's go to the book of poor Jonah. Jonah also struggled with that. He really struggled with that. As God gave Jonah a command and say, Jonah, please come here. I want to send you to Nineveh. And what did Jonah do? Do you know the story? But listen to Jonah. Jonah was a prophet of God, called by him. And listen to in Jonah chapter 1 from verse 1, just a few verses. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. God wants to destroy Nineveh. But I want you also to see the heart of God for their good. He don't want them to die in their sin. He sent Jonah, go and tell them they need to, there's another R, repent. Remember all those R's that we're dealing with here. Repent, I have your good at heart. Verse 3, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord, resisting change. And guess what? It is not Nineveh that need that change. Jonah need that change too, because his heart was bitter against Nineveh. There's 200,000 children in Nineveh who can't distinguish the left hand from the right hand. You can read it in those three chapters. And God say, I want to save them. Jonah say, kill them. I don't want to go there. It is better than you kill them. Jonah, God's heart was always for the good of man. Okay, you are disobedient. You pay for his own fare. And there you go. What happened? We know the story. And there comes that perfect storm. And even the pagans on that ship has better understanding than Jonah. At the end of the day, overboard. And he was overboard. And he finds himself in a big fish belly. And there Jonah come to his senses. He said in Jonah 2:7, salvation is of the Lord. As if he repent right there. And God command that big fish, go and spit him out. Out on the seashore. Jonah, go. God didn't go and give him another assignment. I'm going to destroy Nineveh, but I want them first to hear that I'm going to destroy them. And if they repent, I will know. And that man, Jonah, was so disobedient, so hard-hardened, that when God did save them, he was very upset with God. And then there comes that wonder tree. It was so hot. The gracious God came and let there grow a plant to give Jonah some shade. Shame that he don't burn his bald head. That he don't get so hot in the sun. And then God sent a little worm to bite that tree, and that died. The tree died, and Jonah was upset with God. Jonah resists also the change in his own heart. Not. And that whole city came to God in repentance. They humble themselves. They abase themselves. And God can't resist that. Because the Bible says God resists the proud. And where will you find him? Where there's humbleness and brokenness. That attracts God. And they repent. For 40 days, God said, in 40 days' time. And I think Jonah sat there and counted them. 1, 2, 3 days, 4 days. It must be the longest 40 days in his life. And still, when he preached to them, he expect God to kill them. A heart that needs change. Well, I want you to turn together with me again to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. And we think, because when we read these stories, it sounds so distant from us. It is 2,000 years there, man. Mm-mm. Listen to Acts chapter 2. I want to read a verse. Here is Peter preaching the gospel. Peter is preaching because they've been filled with the Holy Spirit now. But I want you to see something here in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Remember, they preach, and the Israelites, verse 36, then therefore let Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. He preached and he tell them about Christ and why he died, and it was you who crucify him. Yo, verse 37, then when the people hear this, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. They cut and said to Peter and to the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? What shall we do? Cut to the heart. It is like you take a knife and you pierce their hearts with that knife. That is what the gospel has done to them. When they hear the gospel and they come under the conviction of the Spirit of God, and they fall, as a way of saying it, we are, what must we do? They acknowledge what they've done was wrong. They call. That word, what shall we do, is a call for change. I don't want to be like this. I want to change. I don't want to stay like this. You got it? Listen to that words. What shall we do? In Acts 2:37. I want you to turn to Acts 7. Again, Peter preached his heart out, telling them. Verse 54. Now listen to this. When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. There's another translation that says this, nearly the same as we heard in Acts chapter 2, that also say they were cut in their hearts. Here this translation say they were furious, cut in their hearts. Furious. It's a different response. On the one side, they say, what shall we do? We are in need of change. We see our predicament and we need to change. Here we found another one. They gnash there on their teeth. There's no sorrow there. There's no conviction that what they've done was wrong. No. They are enraged and they are filled with bitterness. We don't want to hear that. And we don't want to change. That's that enrage in them. The same message. So there's always these two responses for those who saw their need for change and ask, what shall I do? And then there are those under the same group of people say, get away with him. I don't want to hear that. Nonsense. Resisting. Run away. Rejecting. Rebellious. The letter R in powerless. My time. I want you to turn to Isaiah 55. But I want you to see Isaiah 55. I want you to see God's heart for the people to change. Let's read from verse 1 for the time that I still have. He said, come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me. And eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. And then verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. And let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them and to our God, for he will freely pardon. So I have your well-being at heart if you only would listen to me. Because God knows there will be people who will not listen. He called it 3 times. Listen, give ear to me. Don't be rebellious. Don't resist change. I have your good at my heart. I have a plan for you. You may not see it now. You may not understand it now. But I have a plan for you. God was the one and is the one who has created us for a purpose. I think I said it the other day. The worst thing in life is not death. It is to live without a purpose. I don't know why I am being born on this earth. I live purposeless and I waste my life. Smoke it up, drink it up, whatever you want to call it. It's my life. Because many times we think that when we're going to die like an animal. There's no life beyond death, or I came back in a different form. There's no such thing. You know, it is like the evolution. You know, they say we came from apes, maybe them, but not me. You know, telling us our ancestors was apes. Maybe theirs, but not mine. Here's the logic for me. If we did came from the apes, that we evolved to such a state as we are today, from ape to man, in between you must find somewhere the still half mix of half human, half ape. Am I right? Where's that evidence? There's no such thing, evidence that from ape to man, there must be this evidence that half human, half ape. There's no such evidence. I'm going to close. We will continue with this. But here's my question to us. Are you resisting change? Are you rejecting change? Resisting what God wants to do in your life. Are you resisting him? Are you rebellious against him? Are you running, the letter R, running away from God? He wants you to run to him and not away from him. Because he has your well-being at heart. If you can, take Isaiah 55. Just those few verses that we read in this hour. And take it to God. And say, Lord, where do I stand concerning these few verses? Because there's the conditions and there's the promises. And there's also the judgment if I don't listen to it. It's all there. Where do I stand with you concerning the letter R? In powerless rejection, rebellious, ran away, that I repent truly from that. And I believe God will speak with you and to you through his word and through his spirit. Where do you stand? Let us pray together. Lord, I really trust that we will take at heart what we've heard in this hour. I think we all, one way or another, struggle with change. And we will come there, what is some of the reasons we struggle with, and why we struggle with, and what is the solution for that. So confirm what we've heard in this hour, Lord. Help us to process personally, to myself, and also for those who hear me. We ask it in Jesus' name.